Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest this week grew up in Ecorse, Michigan, and earned physical education degrees from Eastern Michigan University and Wayne State University. In 1951, he tied Jesse Owens' world record in the 60-yard dash. He became the first African-American coach at Michigan State University in 1968 and was MSU's head track coach for 20 years. The ambassador of Spartan sports, his name, Coach James Bibbs. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible, and we're with the legendary track coach from MSU, the ambassador of Spartan sports, Coach James Bibbs. Coach, welcome. An honor to have you.
Thank you, and honored to be here.
Can we start by talking about your childhood and your mom and your dad?
Well, my childhood, as you just said, I grew up in Ecorse. My mom and dad was Emmanuel and Lenny Bibbs, and the main instructions I got when I was growing up, which is do what you're told. My dad graduated from about the fourth grade. My mother went to about the sixth grade. He told me he didn't know a whole lot about school, but he didn't want me to work as hard as him. So he told me, you go to school and you do as you're told. Now, if you get in trouble in school, you're going to have a problem with me because you wasn't doing as you're told. So I've carried that out for the rest of my life almost. I do as I'm told in school. I mind my parents. I mind my teachers. I mind my coaches. And then I got married. Now I mind my wife.
Life is good.
Life is very good.
What's the biggest thing you learned from your mom?
I probably learned love, being compassionate. When my dad would send me upstairs without eating for doing something wrong, she'd figure out a way to feed me. My dad knew she was doing it, I'm sure. But she'd come to the bottom of the stairs and say, Jim, you all right? But she slipped me some food or something. He let her slip me some food. And so I learned being compassionate and love. And I would say those are the two biggest things. And what the religious values that I have, I think, probably come from her.
Coach Bibbs, your sport as a youngster was baseball. You
loved
were offered a Class A contract with the Yankees out of Ecorse High School, and you didn't take it. Why?
Because I was excited, of course, and I worked out with the St. Louis Browns and so forth and got a chance to meet Satchel Paige and all that. But when I went home and told my dad that I offered a contract, and I think it was about $500 a month or something like that, my dad said, no, you going back to school. That ain't no money. And my dad was the type of dad that was, I love him, and he's a great guy, but when he said something, that was it. You know, I'm going back to school. And so I went back to Eastern Michigan. And that case was closed.
And you got an undergraduate from Eastern in physical education, and then you got a master's degree from Wayne State in physical education. And soon thereafter, you founded the Detroit Track Club in 1959. Tell us about that.
Okay, but the way I really got into it, we had John Telford, your now acting superintendent of Detroit Public Schools, myself, Billy Smith, and a couple other, we sort of founded the Detroit Track Club, and Pete Petros, who was former principal and so forth, had just passed away not too long. We founded the Detroit Track Club because we wanted to get together and run another year or so after we graduated from college. And we did. We went to New York, and we did real well. But then I went up to Canada and saw some girls running. And I said, shoot, I got some girls. I coached a little baseball team, which they sort of had me coach, and they, of course, they would coach Archie Clark and so forth, who played pro basketball, and a young lady named Jennifer Jones, who became Jennifer Johnson. She'd been talking to me about getting some girls, so I had a softball team. But I saw some girls running up there, so I said, I got some girls. So a couple, I went back home and got a couple of girls attracted. So then, so we just went from there and started out with young ladies like Karen Dennis, who's now the Ohio State head women's track coach and former Olympic coach in 2000, women Olympic coach in 2000. And Carolyn Coleman, who's now Carolyn O'Bannon, and Debbie Barron, Gloria Gaines Hunter, and Linda White. And we had a little relay team that, and which we won 3 or 4 girls and women's national championships, 4x1, 4x2. And the highlight was beating Tennessee State at that time with Raoul Tyre, so Olympic champion on it. And so that's where I basically started out in track, and with Detroit Track Club. And half the time we ran for Detroit Track Club, half the time we went someplace we ran for Equals Track Club, and because we had girls from Equals and Detroit. And then some of my high school boys, then later on I got the job at Equals High, and my high school boys ran Detroit Track Club also. And I guess, not that I feel like dropping names, but with Detroit Track Club, the old ex-superintendent, Ken Burnley, he ran with us also. And, you know, he's the greatest thing hit Detroit for a while. He just was born the same time Henry Carr was born, so nobody remembered Ken as well as he should be remembered. So that's basically my career there. We were very successful there, and that carried me on to 1967. I became head coach of the women's Pan American team for the United States, based off of what those girls did primarily, and winning things for me. And then from that, I think, led to my job at Eastern Michigan. Plus, I had a successful team at Equals High. And that led to my job at Michigan State.
When we come back, we'll ask Coach Bibbs how he got that job at Michigan State. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Welcome back to Anything Is Possible. I'm Jack Rasula, and we're with Coach James Bibbs, who in 1968 was hired by Biggie Munn at MSU, and he became the first African-American coach in Michigan State history. How was it the legendary Coach Munn hired you, Coach Bibbs?
Well, I think that, as I told you, in 1967, I was very fortunate to be head track coach for women USA track and field team. And so that turned out to be successful. Of course, Ohio could not be, because I had people like Babbin Manning and Willie White, they're some of the greatest, and half of Tennessee State's team were on retirement on it. So I did win 8 out of 11 gold medals. And I must be a bad coach, so I should have lost the other 3 medals, but with the talent I had. But then, at that same year, Ecorse won the state championship. My boys won the state championship in 67. And my girls had shortly after, the girls did well in all our U.S. meets. So right then, I probably was the most successful high school coach going around. And I tease sometimes, but some, I think might be some truth into it, because the riots in Detroit was in 67, and I got hired in 68, and I say that because blacks still had matches, and they figured they might be coming to Michigan State, but that's, so I definitely was a affirmative action hire, and because that's when they started adding blacks to some of these major universities, and I think that's how I think that's when Biggie decided that they're going to bring in some black coaches, I happen to be the blessed one. Huh?
Another thing that the legendary Biggie Munn did for you was suggested you marry a young lady named Martha.
That's right.
And that turned out
that might
good.
Be more just important than my job.
And, let's correct that. That is more important.
And you, right, you know I got to go home, don't
yes,
you?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, I took Martha in to see him, and we were married that time. I took her up to Ypsilanti from Ecorse. We were up there, and when Big interviewed me, she went in and sit us for a while. She met Big and so forth and so on. And then when she left, Biggie said, you know, you ought to marry that young lady. She's a sharp young lady. And so, as you say, that's the most important advice he gave me, and I followed it.
And 43 years later?
43 years later.
You're still in training.
She's still the best recruit I've ever had. I'm still in training. But okay, she'll tell you, I've made great improvement. You should have saw me before I met her.
Coach Bibbs, what do all great college coaches have in common?
Character, hopefully, integrity, of course, knowledge, and the ability to be adaptable and flexible to deal with different personalities. You got to be a little, what I call a junior psychologist, because all youngsters are different. They come from different backgrounds, different homes, and you have to try to take them as young boys with their own, you know, they're 17, 18 years old, and then give them enough character and integrity to make them into some good young men. And that's what makes me most proud, is see these young people, you know, just like a young man named Rick Gladhill. He came up to Michigan State this year, just a few weeks ago, and took Martha and I out for dinner. And this young man, I don't know, he must have been there in the early 90s, at Michigan State. He wanted me to meet his family, and we had done together. I met his wife and kids. And to see young men like this grow up and turn out very, very well, I think that's the main thing. I'm sure Tom Izzo and I'm going to tell you the same thing. To see how they end, how they turn out after they leave us. We know they can perform because, you know, unless we're stupid, we don't give scholarships to people who don't have talent. But to see how they turn out after they leave us. So I think that's what coaches have to have the ability to mold young men.
Track and field is an individual sport.
Correct.
Talk to us about individual sports versus team sports.
Well, certainly some good life lessons you learn out of team sports. You learn how to cooperate with others and so forth. But what I like about individual sports, it gives you more life lessons because you learn not to make excuses. Like I tell youngsters, in football, you know, always claim they didn't block for me. That's why I didn't get my yards today. In basketball, you say, well, they didn't pass the ball to me, so I'd have got 25 if they passed the ball. But track and field, I tell them, your spouse, who don't know anything about track, she know when you started. And she know everybody start together, and she can count and see where you finish. And you can't go up there and give her no excuses, because nobody bothers you. She watch you all the way around the track. So it gives you individual and learn you how to win gracefully, but also accept losing and move on to the next. So it gives you more life lessons, I think, than team sports do.
What's the difference, Coach, between coaching male athletes and female athletes?
I think coaching female athletes early in my career helped prepare me for male athletes, because we don't realize how different male athletes are. Female athletes, you almost know there's a difference, you know, because they have been prepared from birth. You know, when a young boy, like when a young boy is born, you almost throw him a basketball and start preparing him to be an athlete. The average girl, she played with dolls and all that stuff, and somewhere along the line, somebody tell her, hey, you can run, or you can shoot baskets. So therefore, they are different. And so I'd say they're a little bit more coachable starting off because they know they don't know much. You, some boy athletes, as they get a certain age, they think they almost know as much as you. And you have to sit them down and tell them, you know, they're 17 years old and you've been coaching for 30 years. Now, I doubt if you know more than me. you could be rare, but I doubt you know more than you run faster than me. And so there's not that much difference, but there is that much difference. I mean, so they are different because you got to know how to approach them. They just like boys. Some of them you can be a little strict with, and boys, just by being a man versus a boy, they could be probably a little more confrontational with girls. Are just girls. But they, it comes right down to almost the same, but you got to be a little more flexible if you want to get the best out of girls.
You have had a lot of phenomenal athletes. One of the best holds a record in baseball because he played 105 games in 1974, but never batted and never pitched. He was only a pinch runner for the Oakland A's, and they won the World Series that year. Herb Washington.
Yep.
Tell us about Herb Washington.
Well, Herb came out of the projects of Flint, had a very, very strong mother, and very well disciplined. Had a very good high school coach, and I can't think of his name right this moment, but it's going to come to me. But Herb was a young man that was exceptional athlete, was very focused, and wanted to be great, wanted to excel. And that's half the battle. And so basically, because he wanted to excel, wanted to be great, and he had confidence in me and other coaches. And so basically, he did pretty much what you told him. And that's the same thing that has him now. He owns 30 McDonald's. All that money probably come from the Oakland A's to get him invested there. But Herb is just, he's a young man that on a Saturday night, on a Friday night before a big meet on Saturday, Herb would move out his campus apartment into one of his buddy's homes. And he didn't even give his girlfriend a phone number. I'm the only one could reach him, just me and him. And because he did, that's how focused he was. He never let his girlfriend come to track practice. Because if I had to jump on him or say something to him, he didn't want me shying away because she's there and didn't want to be embarrassed by in front of her. So Herb was a very focused athlete, and now he's a very focused and successful young man. And he graduated from Michigan State. His wife graduated from Michigan State. And he has a son and daughter, and they both graduated from Michigan State. So Herb is a very unique and smart individual.
We're talking to Coach James Bibbs, and I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. This is Anything Is Possible. I'm your host, Jack Krasula, and we're with Coach James Bibbs, who was the head coach of Michigan State University's track team for 20 years. He coached 26 All-Americans and 52 Big Ten champions. Coach, you bleed green.
Yes, I do.
You love MSU almost as much as you love Martha and your kids and grandkids. Why do you love Michigan State so much?
Well, Michigan State, one, gave me the job opportunity you just elaborated on. And then, so I mean, I've been there all that time and to watch a lot of athletes come through. I taught a couple classes, too, so I had people like Magic Johnson in my class and see people like Steve Smith and them come through there. And the formation, Rick Gladhill, LaRue Bush. And I've come in contact with all the football players and basketball players, and even some of the girl basketball players who start out early time, and certainly girl track people. So Michigan State has been very, very good to me. And so my whole life, from 1968 until today, has been tied up with Michigan State. I plan to go on a track trip with them the first couple track meets this year, and next week, really. So therefore, Michigan State has been very good to me. They allowed me to help me support my wife and family, and then my son, he graduated Michigan State. He's a principal now in East Lansing. My daughter graduated from Michigan State, and she's a lawyer now. And so Michigan State's been very, very good to me.
You've been there 45 years. Who's the best athlete you've seen at Michigan State University?
Well, offhand, you said athlete, not just track person. Offhand, I say Kurt Gibson would be very, very close to the top. Kurt, obviously, is a great baseball player, a great, great football player. And I watched Kurt, and used to always mess with him and try to get him to come out for track. I believe Kurt could have been a 46 quarter mile at least. And because in high school, he didn't even practice. He went out and run 49 and a quarter. And also threw the shot about 49 feet, ran 49. So Kurt, for a pure athlete, I would say Kurt Gibson, and maybe throw in Brad Van Pelt, who is another outstanding athlete come through there. And maybe Eric Allen, because Eric obviously was a great, great football player. I think maybe the greatest tailback ever come through Michigan State. Then he just walked in my office one day and said he wanted to come out for track. He got permission from Duffy to come out for track. And from that day, which I don't know exactly what the time was, September, October, then he won the indoor triple jump championship for me. And so he's another great, great athlete.
Coach Bibbs, what do all great athletes have in common?
The ability to focus. That's why you see people like Isaiah Thomas can come out there and break a leg and still go out there and play ball. I think Isaiah's another one, lost his father, I think. Somebody lost his father and come out there and score 32 points. Kobe Bryant could stay in court all day and fight a sex charge, fly back 2 hours before the game and go out there and score 20-some points for the Lakers. So they have a great ability to focus, a great desire to excel, and be able to close everything out during that time and then move on. Because you're going to have the same problem when it's over, but you have the ability to close out and do that job. So I think those are two of the factors that make all great athletes have, you know. How could you focus?
Speaking of greatness and excelling, Coach Tom Izzo. Talk to us about Tom Izzo.
Tom, my man. Tom is a great, great coach. And I've been knowing Tom ever since he was what I call gopher for Judd. He just one of Judd's assistants. And the thing I love about Tom is Tom, when he was a gopher for Judd, he's the same guy as he is today, making $3 million. He's still Tom Izzo. I think Tom is certainly one of the greatest. I think the best coach that I know. Because Tom don't get all the McDonald All-Americans. See, nothing against Duke and North Carolina, but they get three or four McDonald All-Americans every year. But Tom, I say they get All-Americans. Tom get All-State people. Like Nick, Steve Smith, and all that. They all state, and they all mid-region, but they're not all. And at the end, if they still do what Tom says for 3 or 4 years, they ready for the Final Four. They catch up with all those McDonald All-Americans in terms of talent, and in some cases, exceed them, like Mateen Cleese. So Tom, and he's a great guy. That's the best thing I can say about Tom. He's a good person. I helped my wife out. She has a charity organization, BCFI. He lets her. Him and Dave Bing co-sponsored a luncheon for her and helped her raise money and so forth. So Tom is a great, great coach and even better person.
Speaking of a great person and very effective, Mark Hollis. Tell us about Mark Hollis.
Mark, I knew him when he was Judge manager. So I've been knowing Mark, and he's a great guy. Now, because Tom's in the coaching, I've never really got as close to Mark as I am to Tom. But I know Mark very, very well, and he's another great guy. I think they were roommates when they started out, and you see what they're doing now. So Mark's a good person, too. I don't come in contact with him as much as I do Tom. I didn't come in contact with much as I did. But all I can say, he's doing a great, great job here at Michigan State. And they're great people besides this great athletic director and great coaches.
You're soon to be 84. You look like you're 60. You've got a very young outlook on life. And you've been a pioneer your whole life. Prejudiced, etc. You were the first of this. You have no bitterness about you. Why not?
I don't know. How can I be bitter? Because I believe I have, I've lived a charmed life, a blessed life. I'm just a little poor boy from Ecorse that grew up and never imagined that I would be a head track coach at a great institution like Michigan State University. And it just seems I've been blessed in every area of my life. Certainly I've been blessed to have a wonderful wife that I've had for 43 years. And then I went to Eastern Michigan, fell in people's hands by George Marshall, the head track coach up there, Merle Hershey, the assistant track coach. And so I had a very successful career there, ended up being in Eastern Michigan's Hall of Fame. And then I moved back to Ecorse High and did well and had some very good teams, good people, and with the short track club. So I've come in contact and then moved up to Michigan State. And like I said, that's been wonderful. I ended up being in the Hall of Fame at Michigan State. So, I don't know if I look 64. I appreciate you saying that. But I seem to be relatively healthy. So I have nothing to be bitter about. I'm very, very blessed. And so I'm very, very happy and satisfied with life. If I had to do life all over again, I'd probably do it the same way.
We're talking to the legendary coach, James Bibbs, and I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. I'm Jack Rasula. This is Anything Is Possible, and we're talking to Coach James Bibbs, the ambassador for MSU Spartan Sports. Coach, we mentioned that you look terrific. I've read that what you look like at 20 is God's gift to you. What you look like at 60 is your gift to God. You at almost 84 look like 60. How have you done it?
Well, first, I got to give honor to God, I guess, because God in my genes is what I give. I did anything exceptional. But back in that lead you just gave me, I try to tell the kids, your talent is God's gift to you, and what you make of yourself is your gift back to God. And so that would probably be first and main thing. And basically, I think I've been blessed. You know, I run into nice people. That's another thing you asked me about, why I'm not bitter. Even when I was playing baseball, I played with some men that, and I was about 15, 16 years old, and I played with some men. And some of them had been in Negro baseball and on the way back and so forth. But nobody never tried to mislead me. You know, we used to go to places like Jackson Prison and play ball, semi-pro ball a little bit. And they get so much money, and they stop, and they might get some beer or wine or something. And they said, no, young blood, you go drink. They give me my money and tell me I get barbecue and pop. gift they gave me. So no one has ever tried to mislead me. Then when I went to college, when I was a freshman, I ran older athletes, people like Gary Campbell. Sometimes we'd be at a dance, and Gary would see me at a bar, and somebody put a beer in front of me. Gary would dance over there and take the beer away. So he's too young to drink. He don't need to drink nothing. And Gary had been in the Navy and back. He said, I'm a man. So he reminded me that I was a kid, just left high school. So I've been around good people and never have been really misled and was able to make pretty good choices about my life. So if there's anything about that, that's probably it.
I believe that when we die, we have to answer one question in front of St. Peter. And that's utilizing the gifts and talents that you were blessed with. How well did you love? And James Bibbs, you're going to get an A+ with the answer. Your whole life has been love.
Thank you.
How does one learn to live love?
As I said, be around good people. I've had basically good teachers. I've had George Marshall and other good coaches. And certainly above all, I was blessed to get a good wife. And so therefore, I've been around people who treated me with love and most of my athletes. I've been around some wonderful athletes. And many of them tell me they love me today. And so I've been around good people and never really had a lot of mistreatment in my life. So therefore, to every action becomes an equal and opposite reaction. So I was able to develop an attitude of love because I've been around people who were good people and easy to love.
Speaking of love, maybe the greatest athlete to come out of Eastern Michigan is Hayes Jones. The hurdler. He was only 5'10", small for a hurdler. He grew up very poor in Pontiac. He played jumping in sawdust piles, etc. Tell us about Hayes Jones.
Hayes W. Jones. I helped recruit Hayes. And then Hayes come to Eastern Michigan, made people forget me. Now, Hayes is a real fine class young man. I remember Hayes said one of the first races he ran, he must have been in ninth grade, maybe even middle school, in the hurdles, he came in last. He's a little scrawny boy, stuff come in last, and some of the kids teased him. And he said, well, at least I'm out here. And so Hayes was, in all the things you said, one leg short and the other and so forth, 5'10". And so obviously Hayes had all those qualities in terms of hardworking, determined. And Hayes only ran, if I'm not mistaken, Hayes ran 14.2 in high school. Now, a lot of these youngsters come out of high school running 13.7, 13.6, 13.8. So he ran 14.2. But and George Marshall, being at Eastern Michigan, you know, Eastern Michigan couldn't get the athletes that Michigan State gets sometimes, and that's why I'm blessed that George took me and molded me into what I turned out to be. And he took Hayes from 14.2 to Olympic gold medal. In fact, Hayes won Olympic bronze medal and then come back and won Olympic gold medal. So and Hayes is a class young man, graduated, became recreation director for the city of New York, and did a lot of great things. And I think he's in Atlanta now. I'm sure he's doing great things now. So he's just a class young man, a great athlete, and a good student, and obviously very coachable.
Who's the best track and field star you've ever seen?
I've ever seen.
Yes.
Well, naturally, I'm prejudiced when I say Herb and Marshall deal. So I'm a little prejudiced there. But if I say best athlete I ever seen, I guess I'd have to say girl would be Jackie Joyner Kersee. And also saw Flo Jo. And boy, I'd have to say Carl Lewis. I didn't really see personally with my own eyes Wilma Rudolph and Jesse Owens. But I would say Carl Lewis, probably the best I've seen. Cause, and I admit I'm prejudiced towards sprinters because that's the area I work in. There's been some great distance runners and so forth, Jim Ryan and them that I saw. And if I was covering the whole gamut, I'd have to throw them in there too.
As our time winds down together tonight, Coach Bibbs, what advice would you give to our young listeners?
My advice is education. Go to school. Take school seriously. I don't care what they say about school, what they say about teachers, all these things. Take school seriously. And I use a little thing sometimes, being I'm from Lansing, and my son was roommates with Magic Johnson, and so I watched Magic grow up. And so I use the word magic sometimes, making a greater individual commitment to be the best student I can be. And the best student don't always mean all A's, but as I use them, we're making a greater individual commitment to be the best student I can be. But education, now unless your name is LeBron or Magic, or you're on a stage with four brothers like Michael, education is the way to success. And another little thing I try to tell them is the main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. And the main thing to most youngsters is your education.
Coach Bibbs, you are the main thing. You're an inspiration to thousands of people still today and the ambassador to MSU Sports.
Thank you very much, and I try to make a difference.
You make a difference every day. Please join us next Sunday. Until then, I'm Jack Rasula. Thanks for listening, and make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spall.
Believe in yourself.